It's Tuesday afternoon and the sun is beating down in Dakar, the capital of Senegal. The bustling open-air market of Sandaga is very crowded as always, with hundreds of tradesmen, customers, suppliers, cars and motorcycles filling up the narrow alleys. Fresh groceries, dry foods, cereals, meat, fish and spices, green vegetables and coloured fruits are piling up on the wooden tables and wicker baskets. Medicinal herbs are hanging over the stalls. A group of people are crowding around a table covered with cuts of meat. While a couple of them ask the tradesman about how fresh it is, another one is determined to haggle over the price of his purchase. Can you lower the price? It's too much. Is that your last price? He asks. Here, as in many countries, haggling is the norm. But beyond this cultural tradition, food prices of staple foods such as rice, oil and meat have risen by 20 to 30% in West Africa over the past 5 years, according to the World Bank. Drought, floods and conflict have contributed to lower food production and increased prices of essentials in the Senegalese city. This has put pressure on breadwinners and made it harder for many to feed their family.
My name is Salimata Tiao, and I live in Dakar.
Dressed in an orange boubou, a light garment usually worn by women and men in Senegal, and a headscarf covering her hair, Salimata Tiao is a single mother of four. As the main household breadwinner, she's worked many jobs to ensure that there is food on the table every day.
I've started with a typist job, then I gave up to be a seamstress. My second job was a seamstress.
But prices are rising so rapidly that vulnerable families like Salimata's have been struggling to keep up. It's pushed them to look for other options to get additional financial resources.
We organize a tontine, which is to help each other. It's a sort of a savings system that we use for our big occasions.
If initiatives like tontines have greatly helped families by giving them simple access to cash, the lack of money is not the only challenge to food security. Over the last decade, millions of people left their homes in the countryside and flocked to Dakar looking for new opportunities or to join their families. This population boom has intensified pressure on scarce water resources in the semi-arid city. And many new houses were built on farmland. Hundreds of hectares of arable soil were lost. Growing enough healthy crops for an increasing population became a real challenge in the Senegalese capital. In 2004, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, FAO, in collaboration with the city of Milan in Italy, introduced a micro-gardening project to the municipality of Dakar to curb food insecurity and improve people's living conditions. Kumbali Diao is an expert on sustainable agri-food systems for the FAO.
What FAO did is to organize a lot of training sessions to train the households. There is a practical phase where we go to the micro-garden sites and where we explain how to make the tables. We show them how to use the substrates, how to set up the hessian cloth, how to make the drainage tubes, how they need to plant, and how to prepare their nursery.
The micro-gardening technique is perfect for city dwellers, as these types of gardens don't require a lot of space. People can produce crops in small urban spaces such as roofs, yards or balconies. Over 10,000 people have been trained in micro-gardening techniques since the launch of the project in Dakar. Salimata Tiao is one of them.
I really liked the training I attended, so I kept doing it.
The HLM Pat Dua neighborhood where Salimata lives is one of the most densely populated of the Senegalese capital. Over 13,000 people per square meter live bunched together in the many low-rise apartment blocks and houses of the area. Salimata is heading towards a white four-story apartment block. She walks in and takes the stairs up to the rooftop terrace. Up there on the small concrete terrace, a group of women is getting busy around several lines of standing tables made of wooden pallets and buckets with plastic crates over them. Inside, a great variety of crops and green vegetables is already growing. Salimata greets one of her fellow gardeners and starts digging the soil in a crate half full of salad.
With micro gardens, we recover some waste that we recycle to plant some lettuce, mint, eggplants, and onions. All that was going to end up as rubbish in the city, we recycle them here. It is really an excellent thing.
Old tires, containers, and plastic buckets. All sorts of materials can be used and recycled, so very little investment is needed. The micro gardens don't require much water for irrigation and often use rainwater.
Besides, it's healthy because we do not use any wastewater or pesticides. The mint we produce is fresh. So is the tomato. You can keep the lettuce for a while at home and it's not going to wilt. When you eat, you feel that it's healthy.
The method is also environmentally friendly as it uses locally available waste materials as substrates like peanut shells, rice straw, coconut fiber, and sand. The yields obtained from micro-gardening are generally higher and of superior quality than those obtained with traditional gardening. The project is bringing healthy food, incomes, and more diverse diets to around 4,000 families.
We have various crops. I diversify. I have eggplants, cucumbers, garlic, lettuce, parsley, onions, and a lot of other things. Today, we eat what we produce. This is the surplus that we sell.
Wow. 83% of the project's beneficiaries are women, who are the ones responsible for feeding their households. The project also works with other vulnerable groups to provide them with economic opportunities.
We are about 50 women here. Every table that you see belongs to one of them, and most of them are senior citizens. We stay in the same space, but everyone runs their own business. And things work very well this way.
Microgardens are so easy to implement that FAO has published a manual for anyone wanting to create their own. The organization and the local authorities are working hand in hand to expand the scope of the system throughout the city, says Mohamed Lamine Endoy from the micro gardening project of the city of Dakar.
The goal of this project is to implement a training and demonstration center in every municipality. Currently, we have 12 centers. We need to set up a training center in 7 other municipalities. In each center, we have 2 trainer supervisors in microgardening techniques. We organized a training of trainers, and most of them are women.
Former student Sally Mata is now a microgardening trainer. She's always happy to share her valuable knowledge with others.
Some people do it from home. We get the table ready for them and we show them how we do it. Every time someone comes to us, we are really happy to help and show them what they must do. We can even come to the person's place to make sure that everything is in order.
Sustainable and water-efficient, Dakar's micro-gardening project supports food security and adapts to climate change. For city dwellers like Salimata, this is also a substantial source of income, which contributes to social inclusion and to the regreening of the city of Dakar that is otherwise covered with concrete.
I know that this is a good activity and that it can bring a lot to the country. It gives us healthy food. I am 63 years old and I'm in a very good shape. It certainly shows that I eat healthy food.
This easily accessible project has been scaled up to other cities in Senegal and implemented in other African countries. With cities becoming more and more populated and climate change accelerating, simple systems like microgardens might grow in popularity.